Hi everyone, it's AK. So I am supposed to be working on a paper for my class, but our governor, I'm in Indiana by the way, our governor has been doing briefings every day at 2:30, just like President Trump has been doing briefings every day at like 5 or 5:30. So I was kind of watching the briefing in the background, and then I realized that the stuff that he was saying not only didn't make any sense, it didn't answer the questions that the people of the state of Indiana had. So basically, what happened was he put a lot of governors did this. They put a shelter in place or a stay-at-home order. The governor signed the executive order to do so. So for us, ours is supposed to expire on Tuesday. The people in the conference, you know, since it's shelter in place, stay at home, social distancing, it's all over the phone or over Skype or something. So different people were asking him, you know, hey, the order is up on Tuesday, but the president extended his social guidelines until April 30th. What is Indiana going to do? That man said something along the lines of, we'll discuss it and look at it in about a week and give the Hoosiers an answer. Are you kidding me right now? First of all, a week is going to be past Tuesday, because today is Wednesday, right? I don't know. Days jumble together. I think it's Wednesday. Anyway, so it's going to be past that time. And the way the executive order was set up, everything was supposed to go back to normal after April 7th, because this was before, you know, people really knew what was going on. And it's just, you know, a big boom and everything, you know, but that's before this. Other governors who put these orders in place, they have already extended the social guidelines. They've already done it. As soon as the president announced it, they did it. They're like, okay, well, you know, let me go ahead and do it. But for him, he kept beating around the bush and not answering the question. And my question, I should call in, like, how many people have to die? How many Hoosiers have to die? I think we have, there's a website I'm looking at that has the death rate and the cases or whatever for the world and whatever. So I'm looking at the United States one right now, and as of right now, there have been 4,697 people that died in the United States from this coronavirus or complications from it. For the state of Indiana, we have had 65 people that died. Now this number escalated within 2 weeks, because before the shelter in place stay-at-home order was signed into law, I think we only had 7 or 8 people that died. So within 2 weeks, we're up to 65 people. So how many people need to die before you know, take this seriously or think, oh, I'm gonna consult my team and we'll make a decision? Are you kidding? With President Trump, we all know that President Trump is a businessman. As a businessman, you care about money, the economy, jobs. You're just trying to get it going, right? So the president naively thought that he could open everything up by April 12th. But his team of professionals and doctors were like, hey, President Trump, you know, that's not going to happen. And we should extend the social guidelines. He's kind of like, are you sure? They're like, yeah, we're sure. So with the advice of his experts and his doctors, he went ahead and extended the social guidelines till April 30th. Did he want to do that? Of course not. Of course he wouldn't want to do that. But at the end of the day, it's not about Trump. It's about the American people and keeping them safe. So for our governor, it should be the same thing. I actually wrote a post. I'm going to read it to you guys because I'm just so heated right now. I'm going to read it. I posted it on Facebook. I posted it right after the briefing was over. I'm getting tired of watching this foolishness. Why can't our governor take charge and make decisions? He even acknowledged the president's extension of social guidelines, but said he will evaluate Hoosiers in a week. The federal government and the president recognize and respect state government, hence the term federalism. However, the federal government can step in and take action for the greater good when necessary. President Trump declared a national emergency for that reason. He set the example, and the states should follow suit. The role of the government is to protect you. If President Trump is protecting us by extending social distancing guidelines to combat COVID-19, why can't our governor do the same? Governor Holcomb's stay-at-home order ends Tuesday, and our state is supposed to go back to normal. Why can't he answer the questions Hoosiers are really concerned about? Everyone already has a good understanding of the medical aspect of the situation. President Trump's team of doctors and professionals inform us daily. Yesterday, Trump's briefing was over 2 hours because the doctors spent a significant amount of time answering questions and explaining medical concerns. Hoosier parents, teachers, students, children, elderly workers, etc. are concerned about the social aspect of the situation. Governor Holcomb keeps saying, hunker down Hoosiers, but people are not taking it seriously. Being an effective governor is like being an effective teacher. You do not beg or plead students to follow your direction. You order or command them. If they do not comply, there is a consequence. This could be calling home, detention, expulsion, conference with administrators, and so on. If students know they don't have consequences for not following the guidelines that are set in place, guess what? They'll continue the behavior. The government runs the same way. If you sign an executive order, that becomes a law. Those who do not comply should have serious consequences for not following guidelines set in place. If not, guess what happens? They will also continue the behavior. So, of course, that was the teacher in me that came out in that last part. And so I'm just kind of thinking, you know, watching the briefing, I mean, he did say stuff like, I plead with Hoosiers, I'm asking you, like, he never, I mean, it's like, you have to take charge. You are the governor of a state. I understand if his personality is not an aggressive person, which I don't think it's aggressive, an aggressive personality, but you have to do what you have to do. As a person running a state, you have to get people to understand that you're not playing, just like a teacher, just like when I was a teacher. I had to get the students to understand that I wasn't playing. If I said I was going to call the dean to come get him, the dean would come get him. Whatever I said, whatever I did, if I put a kid out, whatever I did, the kids knew that I was not playing with them because I showed them consequences for their actions. So other kids didn't do that kind of stuff. They're like, well, he got kicked out of class for doing that. You know, the dean came to get him. He got detention for that. I'm not going to do that because I see what happens if you do something you're not supposed to do. So for with Indiana, I live in central Indiana. So apparently central Indiana is doing okay. But people in northern and southern Indiana are commenting saying how it's basically business as usual. And I'm like, how is that so? But also the issue with his executive orders are they're very blanket. For instance, he says essential businesses are the only ones that should be open, right? But the list of essential businesses is basically all the businesses already. So it's like, that's also the issue too. Somebody said, why is the liquor store an essential business? I'm like, well, you know, at this point it kind of is. No, but something as simple as that, like what are essential businesses? You have to do more for the people of your state than you're doing right now. Because we are struggling, we're scared. People are dying, and we don't have any direction in the United States of America. We have federalism. That means we have a federal government and a state government. Because I'm going to go history on you. The Articles of Confederation was the first constitution. That didn't work because it gave the states too much power, and there was no point in having a federal government because it was already weak. States did whatever they want. So the Constitution of 1789 incorporated the concept of federalism, which is the federal government having power, but the state governments have power as well. The states are able to do their own thing as long as it doesn't go against, you know, the federal power. The states can do their own thing. You know, each state has their own driving age, speed limit, you know, stuff like that. But the federal government has technically the ultimate power. So my point was, the president shouldn't have to tell you, again, because the way our government is set up, the president is not ordering anybody to do anything. It's a suggestion. Our government is about freedom and democracy. Nobody orders you to do anything. I mean, legally, you can't. I mean, you could if you, I mean, look, at the end of the day, it is what it is. Anyway, so that's our form of government. So he recommended the social distancing guidelines to be extended. I mean, he probably wanted to say, I command you to, but again, he understands that states do their own thing. But most states are like, hey, if the president is declaring national emergency over this, and he's serious about these guidelines and this social distancing 6 feet away, you know, not in a big group of people, I think we should take it seriously too. And a lot of states have done so. And if they hadn't before, they're doing it now. But for Indiana, our main problem was, okay, Governor Holcomb, the president announced that he's extending the social guidelines for another 30 days. Our stay-at-home order is supposed to expire next week. So are we following the president's direction, the example that he set for us? Are we following that so we can continue to be healthy and whatnot? I'm going to evaluate it and I'll give an announcement next week. I couldn't, when he said that, I'm just staring at the screen. Like, I just couldn't believe he said that. And I'm like, so how many more people have to die? How many more people have to get sick? What needs to happen for you to take charge and make a decision? You are the governor of a state. There's about, I think, 7 million people in Indiana. So it's not that big of a state, but 7 million people or so in Indiana. You are in charge. You are supposed to lead all those people. You are the authority in the state. Again, we have local city government. We have mayors. We have town hall council. But at the end of the day, the governor is the one that has the ultimate authority. So we look to the governor for the example to lead, to guide, to show us what to do, to calm us, to inform us. And it's like, if you can't even do that, how is that affecting the rest of the state, the rest of the people? If you can't take leadership and take charge. And it's like, the thing is, he couldn't even answer a basic question. Like, it was a yes or no question. Like, they asked, are you going to follow President Trump's extensions of social guidelines? It should have been a yes or no answer. There is no, we're going to think about it, evaluate it. Because if we have all these people dying and getting sick, what is there to think about? And then they ask, oh, another thing that he hasn't even discussed is school. I'm a teacher. I did quit my job, you know, but I'm a teacher by trade. So it's still important to me as well. So at first, the executive order was supposed to be April 7th. Everything go back to normal, including students going back to school. But I'm trying to remember, this, everything's happening so fast, but I guess within a week or so, he went ahead and extended that and said, students will go back May 1st. So of course, Hoosiers, you know, teachers, students, parents, everybody's concerned because May 1st, the Trump's doctors and experts are saying that the peak is going to happen within the next couple of weeks, which is almost going to be May 1st. So are kids going to be able to go back to school May 1st? If they're not, what's the game plan? What did he say? We're going to evaluate that situation. We go hour by hour, day by day. Are you freaking kidding me, dude? Like, I can't believe it's a yes or no question. It's a yes or no question. And I'm like, a lot of schools in Indiana, again, that's another example of federalism. States have the power to have number of days of school, you know, when you go to school, when school gets out, whatever. So for Indiana, a lot of schools get out the end of May, beginning of June. So for instance, if we went back to school May 1st, there's people that get out like May 22nd, you know, like right before Memorial Day. So would it make sense for them to go back to school for a couple of weeks? Not only that, but what do they do? What happens? Again, there is so much uncertainty in this whole situation. And the person that is supposed to direct, guide, lead, help us is floundering. And my thing also is, if you don't know or really have an opinion, just BS it and just like repeat what President Trump said. That's really all you have to do, to be honest. He could have just been like, yeah, I heard President Trump say to extend the social guidelines. Yeah, we're going to go along with the president. Like, that's all you have to do. Now, one thing President Trump, I don't think he has addressed this, is school. Because again, that's a federalism type situation. States are doing their own thing. I think it's the state of Kansas that canceled school for the rest of the year. Other states are doing this too. So this is a state thing. So Trump has not, I don't think, don't quote me on it, I don't think he's addressed the issue of schools. That's a state thing. So again, teachers, parents, students, and so on are concerned about this, especially teachers. We have bus drivers, teachers, we have a whole bunch of people, cafeteria workers that are involved in our school systems. And they're in limbo. Some of those people aren't getting paid. Like, if you're a teacher, you're salaried. Some school districts are actually paying those who are classified workers who aren't salaried. But again, it's uncertainty. If you're a bus driver, you haven't been working for almost 2 months And you know, okay, when can I drive a bus again? When can I get back to my job and take care of my family? Tell me, Governor Holcomb, when can I do that? When? Or can I even do it the rest of the school year? What can I do? And it's very frustrating because all of these people have questions. We have all kinds of questions that are legitimate questions, and they're questions that are directed specifically towards Indiana. Again, the federal government, they're doing their job, you know, they're doing a good job addressing like the federal national concerns. But the other stuff is left up to the states. So the citizens of states look to their governor to lead them, to answer their questions, to support them. And this is something that ever since the boom, I'm trying to think, it was April 1st, the boom in the coronavirus cases, it was a couple of weeks ago. So ever since that, Hoosiers have been saying, okay, what's he going to do with school? What's he going to do with school? He said May 1st, what's he going to do with school? And it's never been addressed. And people were actually asking questions about it, like point blank, not even beating around the bush, just point blank asking him questions. And he just floundered with his answer. I'm just staring at the screen like, are you kidding? So I'm pretty sure he's going to get a lot of calls or a lot of, you know, something going on at his office later today or even right now. And hopefully he will make a decision and let the people know what's going on, because the schools don't just affect teachers and students. It affects the entire community. Again, you have different workers in the school systems that aren't teachers. They're called classified workers, the ones that don't need a teaching license. And so you have those people. You have the entire community. You have parents that have small children. Parents that have kids that other kids are babysitting, or they're figuring out their child care. So it's like stuff like that is the parents need to know, because okay, if the kids aren't going back to school right now, I can plan for what's going to happen for the month of May for my kids because they're not going back to school. But right now we're in limbo. So as of like today, literally May 1st, kids are supposed to go back to school because he can't make a decision on that. So again, teachers, parents, they're like, okay, so how, if we do go back to school, basically my mom is a teacher as well, and her district actually called upon her, which is so cool, called upon her to help develop the online curriculum for sixth grade for the district, which is what she's doing. So they have a team together, different teachers, different departments are putting together online learning lesson plans, right? So if they're creating this stuff, if going back to school May 1st is in limbo, how much do these teachers create? How much is my mom supposed to do? Is she supposed to plan for the kids not going back? Is she supposed to plan for kids going back, you know, at May 1st? How are teachers supposed to effectively create these lesson plans, these virtual lesson plans? And so I'm just like, it's just ridiculous. I don't know. I'm calmed down right now, but I was just so heated. I was like, let me post this. Let me say this on my podcast. Whether or not people listen, you know, at this point, I'm talking to myself, whatever, I'm getting it out. So if people are listening, thank you for listening. And you probably share my frustrations as well. Actually, no, you probably don't, because your governor might have it together. So you probably aren't sharing my frustrations. But it's terrifying, you know, seeing these numbers, people dying around the world. Italy's had like 11,000 people that died. That's crazy. And then you've got here, the United States, we've had almost, it's probably 5,000 now since I said that, 5,000 people within a matter of weeks that have died from this. That hundreds of thousands of cases. Like, this is terrifying. This is something that is scary for the American people. And it's kind of like, I mean, people are kind of comparing it to 9/11 when it comes to death, which obviously this has surpassed 9/11. But I would compare it more to the national response. When 9/11 happened, people came together as Americans and we helped each other. We're all going through the same struggle. We're all Americans. We got this. We're together. No matter what you look like, you know, color, race, gender, none of that. You're an American. I'm an American. We're going to get through this together. We're going to work through it. And I kind of hoped that would happen with the coronavirus situation. I mean, I think maybe somewhat. I'm not really sure. Part of that is because the politics have been super, super partisan and divided over the last like 20 years. So it's kind of not really a good, you know, good example. But I would like to see more of it, you know. And I feel like Trump is trying to do his best and, you know, uniting the people, calming the people. I mean, when he does his briefings, he talks about, you know, hey, I talked to this Democratic governor. The Democrats, they said I was doing a good job, you know, blah, blah, blah. And some people might be like, oh, okay, he's just trying to, you know, make himself, his ego. But I think it's a good thing to say that because that's letting people know, hey, if the Democrats can say Trump's okay, they're working with Trump, you know, maybe we can work together. Maybe we can figure this out. Because at the end of the day, this is not political at all. At all. So I don't care how you feel about President Trump, how you feel about, and I don't care about if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, Communist, I don't care. At the end of the day, this is about the American people. So if you don't like Trump, that is fine. But you need to listen to his direction. He is there to help us and to guide us. Doesn't matter if you like him or not. Doesn't matter, oh, well, he's a Republican, I'm a Democrat, so I can't listen to him because da-da-da. No, you need to listen to him because he's your president. And for Trump, because this is a very serious situation, if you've noticed, if you've been watching the briefings, you've probably noticed that he's a lot more, I don't want to say like tamed, but polished. He's a lot more polished because he's actually reading speeches people have written for him. If you notice, he's reading the stuff. So he's kind of trying to become, I guess, more polished to probably soothe, so to speak, the American people. He's listening to the experts. One thing I really like about him is that he not only is he listening to the experts and, you know, passing on the information, he's letting the experts come to the American people in the briefing and show graphs, slideshows, information, answer questions. He's letting the American people see the decisions that I make, President Trump, the decisions that I'm making are based on the information these people gave me. These people are giving you the information they gave me so you can see that, you know, what I'm doing, what I'm saying is legit. And I think that's a great idea because, you know, a lot of people, especially after, you know, George W. Bush, a lot of people don't trust their president or the federal government, you know, the whole war and terrorism. They're not really, you know, the president says something, it's like, is that really legit? Is that really, and especially the way people feel about Trump, you know, is he really telling the truth? So I feel like him doing this is kind of a way of saying, hey, look, these people are telling me the same stuff. They're telling you the same stuff. So I feel like people need to band together. I've been seeing negative stuff about Trump still, and I never comment back, but the stuff that's negative that I've seen, it's about politics. It's about saying like, oh, he lied about some mayor in some state about saying this. What does that have to do with the president's response to freaking coronavirus? What does that have to do with anything? I understand how you guys feel about politics and whatnot, but this is not the time or the place. This is not at all. This is ridiculous. This is not the time or the place to say he lied about some mayor and some governor and he da da da. Not, it's not the time or the place. Whether or not Trump did it isn't the point. The point is right now, we are going through a national crisis. People are sick. People are dying. And if you're concerned with politics, you're part of the problem. You're part of the problem, and that's why our country is not united. Because we're still, in this time of crisis, focused on politics. And if you think about it, that's freaking ridiculous. Why are we focused on politics? Are you kidding? Why are, there's no need to be focused on politics at all. Nothing. You shouldn't be saying anything political whatsoever. Well, unless, you know, passing the different bills or, you know, that kind of stuff. That's a little different talking about the stuff they're doing, but to just, you know, oh, this Democrat said this and this Republican said that. Okay, what's that have to do with the situation that has thousands of people dying by the minute? Around the world, people are dying. This is ridiculous. So how is that helping? How is bickering between each other, you know, bashing each other, how is that helping the situation? And as the United States of America, we are generally looked at as the leader of the free world, you know, big country, big democracy, capitalism, you know, a lot. We have almost 330 million people, you know, a lot. We pretty much set the example, set the tone for the rest of the world to follow, kind of like with the president and the governor situation. So if the rest of the world looks to us for guidance and for help and for advice, and they see us being divided over politics and complaining about political situations and instances, not focusing on the issue that almost every country in the world is dealing with, there's no point. They'll turn the TV or read the news. Oh, well, they're not even talking about corona. They're talking about some Republican said this. Well, that's not what I need to hear. I need to hear, you know, what is America doing to help the coronavirus? You know, what can we do type of thing? And I feel like that's also, it's affecting our reputation worldwide. Because again, if we can't lead, if our country is the leader of the free world, the leader of the world, and we're not doing what's, not like what we're supposed to do. Okay, the way, you guys know the way how our country became, you know, the leader of the world, you know, World War I, World War II, Cold War, different wars that, you know, that have happened, that, and then our economy, like, we just become the world leader. Our military is all over the world, that kind of thing. So if we're not doing this so-called job that we've designated ourselves to do, or whatever you want to say, then what happens? What happens? If the country that leads the world in any type of situation, you know, war, crisis, emergency, whatever it is, if we are not setting a positive example, or even setting an example for the rest of the world, who are they going to look to? Who do they look to figure this out? And I don't want to hear anything about China. China and I, we have some problems. I've had some problems with China for a long time. But China is not the person to look to, obviously. The issue with China at this point is, everybody knows worldwide that they did lie. The Chinese Communist Party suppressed information about this coronavirus. So, of course, the rest of the world got the information, got the virus late. Because if the rest of the world had gotten the information when it first happened in Wuhan, China, the world would be able to prepare. Okay, it's going to come to us. You know, we'd be able to do what we're supposed to do. But we're scrambling. Was that intentional on China's part? I mean, I don't want to say yes. Because if you think about it, China is the second largest economy in the world. You know, they're part of the global economy. So China not passing on this information, the rest of the world, like, the economy is totally screwed up. Nobody's doing anything, trade or what, you know, nobody cares about this kind of stuff. We care about our people dying. So I kind of feel like even if China did it on purpose, it's totally backfiring. But I'm not sure if they did that on purpose. Hey, we're going to infect the Western world. And I don't really know if that was on purpose or not. But I just feel like, you know, we have some issues with China. And one thing I do like about Trump and his whole polished image that he's doing right now is he has not blamed China. Somebody asked him, one of the reporters asked him, you know, how he felt about China or whatever. And he was like, I talked to President Xi last night. You know, we talked about coronavirus solutions. We didn't talk anything about politics. You know, we just talked as, you know, leader to leader about how to help this coronavirus situation. So I do like that Trump is not inserting Chinese politics with this situation. I appreciate that. Because what he says, again, affects the rest of the world, the rest of the country or whatever. So I do appreciate that he is not inserting politics in the midst of this crisis. Now, after this crisis ends, the entire world needs to rethink their relationship with China. I said it. I'll say it again. Every country in the world that does business with China should reevaluate that. Because if something like this happens again, with China leading it or whatever, how are we going to react? This is destroying our economies, because so much stuff that we have, we depend on China. Like, I think they said the medical equipment, like 80, 90%, a very high percentage of that stuff was made in China. So we are depending on China, the people who had this virus in the first place, to give us what we need. And that's not just for us, that's for other countries around the world. So it's like, yeah, you know, trade is cheap to send factories and jobs to China and this kind of stuff. But now it's kind of like, was it worth it? Was it worth it to where, like, we're handicapped? We cannot do anything because we rely on China so much. And China, because they have that power, they're able to be like, oh, we're not going to give you anything. We're going to just kill off everybody, which would be dumb because they wouldn't have any trading partners. But basically, China has the economic power in the sense of manufacturing, Like, the iPhone that I'm recording this on, made in China. The clothes I'm wearing, made in China. My computer, you get what I'm saying. Everything's made in China. So it's like China has that power because they could say, we're not going to manufacture this stuff. And everybody's going to be screwed. So I do feel like once this situation is over, I feel like, you know, the United States, the other countries in the world that deal with China, need to reevaluate their relationship. I'm not saying that they should totally just, you know, oh, we're just screw China, we're pulling out, everybody's done China, you know, boom. I don't think that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the countries that rely so much on China need to rethink that. They need to rethink that relationship. Because again, in a time of crisis for the United States right now, we have companies that don't make medical equipment scrambling to make it, to figure out how to do it. Because again, it comes from China. So it's like, once this is all over, I think we need to address the issue of China and the trade. The Golby Club, oh, I can't talk, I'm sorry. I'm so heated and so excited, I'd start talking and stuttering and everything, so I'm sorry. But I think that we should reevaluate the Chinese situation, and we should bring back jobs. I know people send jobs to China because it's cheap, you know, sweatshop labor, whatever. But at the end of the day, I think spending more money and making sure we have stuff at home is more important than relying on an international power. So for instance, I was doing different research. I was talking to my mom about this. So, I mean, if you guys are offended or whatever, if anybody listens and they're offended, I mean, that's fine. Let me know or whatever. So I was thinking about the North America, Canada, the United States, and Mexico. So because we are on the same landmass, we are obviously big trading partners with one another, right? So for instance, I read the data. I'm not sure how old it was, but it was saying that Mexico was our biggest trading partner because it's right there. So my thinking was, with this whole China situation, once this is over, we should take all of our factories, all of our stuff out of China. Okay, maybe not all of it, but a lot of it out of China and put it in Mexico, which we do have some stuff in Mexico. Because if Mexico is our biggest trading partner, giving them jobs and money, I really think that would curb illegal immigration. Because a lot of people that, you know, cross the border illegally, they're here for jobs, for money, for a better life. But if we provide them in their own country with jobs and money and a better life, they have no reason to come here. If they can be a millionaire working in a factory in Mexico because the United States gave them the factory, they're not gonna leave Mexico. Like, why would you leave? Of course, then Mexico would have the issue of illegal immigration because other people from Latin America, South, they would want to come up and work in Mexico. But I'm not the president. I'm not an economist, so I don't know if that's even feasible. But just thinking about it, my evaluation about it, I kind of felt like we should reevaluate our relationship. And I feel like the people who struggle with illegal immigration, well, I guess it depends on why. If it's illegal immigration for like economic opportunities, I feel like if people took that stuff out of China and they put it in the countries that, you know, they're leaving their country because they need help. They love their country. They don't want to leave their country, but they can't afford to live there. They need money and need a job. If we put those factories, those places in those countries, I think that would improve not only that country, but the global economy. Because China would not have a monopoly on everything when it comes to manufacturing. And that would make China less important to everybody in the world if they're not controlling every single thing that's being made. And then that means China is going to have to get it together to be like, oh, well, we need to get back in this economy and compete. Well, how do we do this now? Because everybody left. Everybody took their stuff out of our country. What do we do? So I feel like, again, after this is over, I'm hoping this is over like soon, along with everybody else. But after this is over, I think that economic-wise, that not only the United States, but every country in the world that has a relationship with China should rethink that to figure out, you know, what can we bring back home? What can we give to other countries? How can we make it to where, you know, not 80% of our medical equipment comes from China? Like, that's ridiculous. So, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like there's just so much stuff going on right now. But yeah, our governor, it's just a disaster. And okay, here's the issue. I didn't really know too much about Holcomb. Nobody really knew too much about him. The issue with him is Mike Pence, president, Vice President Mike Pence, was the governor of Indiana. So, you know, we knew about Mike Pence, but when Trump plucked him, then all of a sudden it's Holcomb. And then Holcomb, like, ran for election, even though he really didn't want to be governor. I mean, he was lieutenant governor. So he didn't even want the job, basically. But because Pence was, you know, picked away, it was like, oh, trying to scramble another Republican was just you. Boom. You're in the running. So I kind of feel like we didn't really know anything about him because of Mike Pence being, you know, being the governor. And so when Mike Pence became VP, people are like, okay, well, we haven't really heard too much about this Holcomb guy. Let's see what, you know, what he's about. And for instance, like, I don't pay attention, but it's like, stuff doesn't grab my attention when it comes to, like, statewide politics, if that makes sense. Like, locally, stuff like in my community. Well, I guess statewide, it depends on if they represent my district. But with the governor situation, again, I didn't know anything about Holcomb. I didn't really, you know him. He didn't have any, like, controversy in the media. Like, I didn't really know too much about him. And so I'm like, okay. So a lot of people didn't really know too much about him and his leadership skills. But now we're kind of seeing his lack of leadership skills. And I think part of his issue is that he is not an aggressive person. If you guys are listening, the governor of Indiana's Eric Holcomb. Go to the website, Indiana website, and watch some of his briefings. I don't know if they're on the website, they're somewhere. Watch some of his briefings and look at his personality and the way he acts. Like, it's not, I mean, it's like, I'm not, like, judging him because he doesn't have that kind of personality, but what I'm saying is, you gotta fake it till you make it. If you're not that person, you have to put on that face for your people, because we are looking for somebody that is aggressive, you know, doing stuff, answering questions. You know, we need that type of leadership. It's like, it's human nature. You don't want somebody that's like, oh, okay, well, you know, please stay at home. You know, please, you know, you don't want that. Like, a lot of kids, they complain about their really strict teachers, disciplinary teachers. When they get older, they're like, that was the best teacher I ever had. And it's kind of like that. You know, we crave that. We crave order and structure as people. So I feel like in times of crisis, everybody's looking to somebody to help guide them, to lead them. And if you don't have that forceful, stable leadership, and everybody else is just floundering. And it's kind of like I gave my example of the teacher example, you know, and I had personal experience with that, obviously, but the way how you respond to different situations. Like, for instance, if I was passive in a situation, if a student was, you know, up doing whatever, I'm like, hey, you know, can you stop doing that? You know, because I taught high school. So I try not to treat them like children, but they act like children sometimes, so they need to be treated like children. Yes, the 18-year-olds do. So if I'm like, hey, you know, stop doing that, come sit down, and they ignore, stop doing that right now. And they're like, oh, crap. I'm sorry if that was loud in your ear. And then they get it together and they, you know, stop doing whatever they're doing and sit down, because that's something that we need as people. We need structure and order. It's just something we need. And so when I would do that, and also it's because I didn't really do that a lot. So it had more impact because that wasn't my personality in the first place. So it's like, if you're getting her to use her teacher voice, you're really doing something wrong. So it's like, I provided the order and structure that they needed when they needed it. You know, I wasn't going to continue to be passive. I don't beg and plead them, can you please stop and sit down, please? No. So I kind of feel like it's the same way with government. Whether or not the founding fathers wanted it to be that way, I mean, I don't know. I mean, all I know is that they weren't a fan of tyranny, obviously, which is why they did the whole Declaration of Independence King George thing. So, but I don't think they would have wanted passiveness from not only the leader of our country, not that Trump is passive, but the leader of a country, of a president, or a governor. I don't think they would have wanted anybody passive, because it's kind of the opposite of tyranny. So it's like, you got to find a middle ground. You need somebody to step up and take charge of a situation. So it's like, even if you're, you know, you're a passive governor, a passive mayor, passive whatever, just kind of sitting back, chilling, you know, nothing too bad's going on, you know, stuff's going pretty good. But then when it's not going good, you need to get into action, because that's what your people need. The state of Indiana needs Governor Eric Holcomb to take charge, to lead us, to guide us, to set the standard of what we're supposed to do. If he orders us to do something, don't beg and plead. Command us, order it. Now, of course, you're probably asking, well, the governor ordering, if he actually like orders it, you know, you gave your example about the consequences. What should the consequences be? That's where I say, I don't know, I'm not the governor. No, but I don't know what the consequences would be. It's kind of weird that we have to think about that. We have to think about giving adult consequences for not following orders to keep you from dying. Are you kidding right now? But okay. So I was thinking, I mean, it might be kind of petty, but like, I don't know, like, I know, maybe have police officers pull people over. They actually have, I don't know if the police are actually doing it. They might be doing it, but they have essential workers. Every essential worker in a company has a letter that they're supposed to keep in their car. So when they get pulled over, they show the cop, hey, this is my letter. I'm essential. This is why I'm out on the road driving. So I feel like the police doing that, that could be a way to keep people off the road. But then it's the issue of people gathering. And different comments that I was seeing when I was reading them while the briefing was going on, different people in different parts of the state were saying, you know, they see a family of like 6 kids going to Walmart grocery shopping. Why do you need all 6 kids grocery shopping? It should be one person or two, you know, both the parents going to grocery shop. That's not practicing social distancing, and that's exposing more people to the virus. So when you have instances like that, I mean, it's like you can't have a police officer patrol every single store in the state. So, I mean, when it comes to enforcing that, I am kind of, you know, scratching my head over that. Again, I'm not the governor. It's not my responsibility to figure out a solution. I'm just saying, you know, we should have some type of consequence. Because, again, like I talked about the kids, the students, if there's no consequence, they don't take you seriously and they will continue to do the behavior. Same thing with citizens of a state or of a country. If you do not enforce your order or have consequences, if you don't, they won't take you seriously. And I know people talk about, oh, well, this stay-at-home order, it's violating our rights and you know, we shouldn't. Okay, first of all, I mean, it's not violating your right because you don't have to do it. You don't have, as an American, you have freedom. You don't have to do it. But my thing is, are you really complaining about an order to stay home to stop you from getting an illness that could kill you? I mean, if you want to go out and go for it, like, I don't understand why people are upset about that. Now, there's some people that are upset because they're out of work, but a lot of businesses too, like, it's not just the people, it's companies, corporations as well. But my thing is, if you're really upset about your rights being taken away, if you're dead, you can't have any rights. So I kind of feel like it's ridiculous that we have to have stay-at-home orders, shelter-in-place order, or that we have to have any type of order. First of all, the governor tells you, hey, or even the president says, hey, you know, people of America, there is a virus that's coming to this country. It's very deadly. It spreads easily. You're going to have to stay at home. You're going to have to limit your social contact with people so you won't get the virus, so you won't die. Okay. Nobody did it. So governors of states are putting in orders for their people to do it. Isn't that ridiculous? You can't follow somebody telling you you might die, stay at home. And you can't follow that to the point where your governor has to tell you to, has to put an executive order into law to tell you to stay at home. And then on top of that, you have people that don't do that. And it's like, I was talking to my mom about it the other night, and she said, you know, I think a lot of this is because people are not adhering to the stay-at-home shelter-in-place orders. And she said, because if people were, the virus couldn't spread, or spread, you know, how rapidly it is if people were listening to what they were supposed to do. Then she told me, I didn't even think about this, but she told me about people leaving the state of New York, because, you know, New York is the hardest hit. I just looked, I think it was like, it was over 1,000 people. Let me see. It was almost, wow, when I looked, it was 2,000. It might be when it was almost 2,000 people that died in New York. And she was like, you know, people are probably leaving New York because of the outbreak. And she's like, those people leaving New York could be going to other states that, you know, necessarily didn't have an outbreak, didn't have the virus. And she's like, those people could be carrying it to other states. And I was like, I never even thought about it like that. I really didn't. The other people, you know, and then I think it was, who was it yesterday? It was a governor. I don't remember who it was. It was the governor of, I don't remember. It was somebody, but they said they were considering doing a, it wasn't called a travel ban. Basically what it was he was considering to not letting people leave or come into the state to stop the spread, to prevent that. And I'm like, that's a good idea. Because of your issue, like for some states, if the state has coronavirus because of this, that's a good idea. You know, well, we didn't have any cases. And now this person came from New York and now, you know, 10 people have it. I think that's a good idea. And of course, you'll have the people infringing on my government rights, the Bill of Rights, you know, First Amendment says I have the right to assembly. You can't tell me I can't, you know, like it's foolishness. But I think that, and I think that would be like, I wouldn't want to say easier to enforce. I guess it depends on how big your state is. But I mean, that's an idea too. Like, we've got to do something. And it's really sad. It's really sad. And it's ridiculous. Like, these people, again, I don't care how you feel about Trump, how you feel about your governor, how you feel about anybody politically. They are trying to keep you alive. Not only just you, your friends, your parents, your children, your coworkers, everybody. They are trying to keep everybody alive. So why is it so freaking hard for people to listen? I don't understand. I really don't. If you guys are listening and you have an idea, can you tell me, can you help me understand why that is? Because I can't. I don't. I don't know. And I know people are like, oh, it's not serious. They're not taking it seriously. Okay, well, we've had almost over 5,000 people die in this country within a couple of weeks. Hundreds of thousands of cases. You still don't believe? You still think it's a hoax? What needs to happen for you to believe? Do you have to get coronavirus to believe it's real? Like, all these people are lying about? I don't understand. Like, people are still saying it's a hoax. I'm going to do whatever I want because it's a hoax. I'm serious right now? Okay, you go ahead and get that coronavirus and die. And then, you know, oh, well, he said on his deathbed it really wasn't a hoax. Like, I just, I don't know. This whole situation is just, it's just ridiculous. I mean, and with our governor, this briefing today was, I mean, his briefings have all been kind of like, eh. But this one today, the fact that people were asking him questions that the people of Indiana wanted to know. Like when they asked those questions, I'm like leaning towards the screen more because people are, you know, asking about, oh, this is a question for the doctor. How many masks do the doctors need? How many ventilators? You know, asking those medical questions. And, you know, it's like, okay, whatever. But then they're like, hey, Governor, I have a question. So are you going to extend the stay-at-home order? I'm like, oh, yeah, what's he going to say? He got that stupid answer. And then they're like, so, Governor, you said kids were supposed to go back to school May 1st. Is that still true? I'm leaning forward. We'll evaluate. Really? So the questions that the American people, we're all American people, the people of Indiana, the Hoosiers, want to know is, are we going back to school? Are we going to be able to work? Because people's lives are on hold. And I feel bad for people that have, you know, families and kids and all kind of responsible. I don't. I'm single, chilling at home, you know. I wouldn't be able to quit my job and live off student loans if I wasn't single, living at home. Well, not at home, my home, like my own place. But yeah, so other people that don't have that luxury, you know, that they really are struggling. You know, their mom and dad, they're both, you know, temporarily laid off. They have like four kids. You know, how is that, you know, this is really affecting them type of thing. So, I mean, I don't, I just wish there was something I could do, you know, like I could donate money or whatever, but I mean, people, I don't know what to do. And I know a lot of like the celebrities were donating money and food and that kind of stuff. I'm like, that's great. You know, people should do it. And it's just, I don't know, but this is just a really horrible time in history right now. And it's a horrible time to incorporate the political BS into it. That's not okay. That's not okay at all. Because at the end of the day, what matters or what should matter for the American people is staying alive and not dying from the coronavirus. And with that, I will end this. Talk to you next time.